And I'm Robin, I'm the lead pastor. Welcome to East Lake. Hope you like the new digs. This is a church for everyone, and this series is a series for everyone. So if you're not married, don't worry, you'll benefit from it. It seems like in life we're sort of like on automatic pilot. We're going to be in a relationship, you get in a relationship, and you think and wonder if you're going to get married. And so if you're married today, that's great. You'll get a lot out of the series. If you're not married, maybe you were married before, you want to be married again. Maybe you're in a relationship, you're wondering, am I going to get married? Maybe you came out of a bad relationship and you're thinking, do I even want to get into another relationship? Maybe you're hoping to be in a relationship. If you get into a relationship, the automatic pilot is, I think someday I'll be married. In this series that we're going to be in, you fall in love, you get married, and then once you're married, the question isn't really, how did I end up married or why am I married? The question is, how is it that I stay in love once I'm married? Everybody wants to get married, and then once they get married, the question is, how do I stay in love? And in this series, the answer is, can you stay in love forever? Can two people love each other their whole life? And the answer is, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a big idea this weekend. You can write in your notes, two people can stay in love forever. The whole series is going to be about how is it that we stay in love forever? We've all known people that they've stayed married, but the real question is, are they still in love when they're married? And look at what Jesus said. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. And, you think about how many breakups that you've seen other people go through, or how many, breakups have maybe you been through. And all through history, marriage continues. It's like it's not even a question. We see lots of people that don't make it, and still we want to be married. We head towards marriage. And there's a reason it's difficult. The first thing you notice, one of the reasons is because what we saw growing up. For a lot of us, we grow up and we really don't see a model. We don't see people staying in love. Maybe you see people staying married, but do you see them staying in love? Here's what a lot of us see when we grow up. Here's what it looks like. Do unto others based on what they deserve. Do unto others as they do to you. Do unto others based on whatever mood you're in. Do unto others to get your way. Do unto others to wear them down. Do unto others until you're ready to leave. A lot of us in our marriage relationships, you're married or in a relationship, you're heading towards marriage, you want to be married, we've never seen a model. We've never seen people that have been able to stay in love. I was with this couple recently, and I was hanging out with them for about a half hour or so, and they were going to buy something. I was watching them go through this thing. And the husband corrected the wife so many times in like 15 minutes. She's just constant, correcting. And you can kind of hear her under her breath sending him clues. Wait until the ride home, buddy. Because when we leave public here, and you could just see it. And there was this tension that was in the marriage. And that's not the kind of relationship that any of us want. You don't want to be in a relationship where there's this tension, where you don't get along and there's no warmth. Some people, it almost seems like they'd rather be with the family dog. The way they greet each other in the morning is like, But then when the dog runs in, hey, ha-ha, you got to go doo-doo. Let's go outside. Mommy's little baby. They're all warm to the dog, and they don't even say good morning to the husband or the wife because the warmth is gone. Because, you don't see lots of models. And some of us, we never saw. Think about when you were growing up. Your relatives and people in your neighborhoods. Maybe people that you worked with as you're growing up. Or maybe even your parents. When you saw them, were they a model of two people that stayed in love? The second thing, you can turn your notes over. The second thing is, it's what we feel or don't feel growing up. So here's some things. Some really smart people got together and they wrote this down. Listen to this now. This is a list of things that we need to have when we're growing up. We need to have these things if we're going to be emotionally healthy to be able to stay in love forever. Listen to these things right here. Let me read it to you. Here they are. Respect, and kind of overwhelming. So just think, did you get all these when you were growing up? Respect, encouragement, comfort, acceptance, security, support, approval, appreciation, affection, and attention. So did these all happen for you when you grew up? And now think about it. I mean, you're supposed to have gobs and gobs and gobs and gobs of that whole list. Here it is right here. Respect, encouragement, comfort, acceptance, security, support, approval, appreciation, attention, and affection. Did you get a lot of that when you're growing up? Because what the experts say, you need tons of that kind of stuff so you're prepared to be in marriage and love people for your whole life. And now here's the other problem. You've got to find somebody that got a lot of those things too, and somehow that's got to come together. You've got to have the whole list, respect, encouragement, comfort, acceptance, security, support, approval, appreciation, attention, affection. That's got to come together, and what are the real chances of that occurring? Here's what really happens. You try to find somebody, and like, you know, you pick them out because they're really super cute, and so then you get married because you fall in love, and then after a short period of time, you expect them to give you respect, encouragement, comfort, acceptance, security, support, approval, appreciation, attention, and affection. You're looking for it because all of us come into marriage with some sort of deficit. And they're so cute in the beginning, or he has such a cool car, or she has such a cute nails. Her nails are really cute. Because we all know that men are so attracted to women's nails. So, you know, I mean, women spend so much money on their nails. And I've been around lots of guys, and I have never, ever once had them standing around talking about a woman's nails. But keep doing it, because it's good. So anyways, she's got great nails. And so you're with them, right? And they're really super cute. And then after a while, you're like, hey, where's the respect, encouragement, comfort, acceptance? Where is it at? And you're at, or... Are you going to start giving that to me, or are you just cute? See, that's what happens. I come into marriage, and there's a deficit emotionally. And the person that I marry has a deficit. And all those cute little hugs that we give each other, and the googly little eyes and stuff, pretty soon those cute little hugs are like strangleholds. Give me respect, comfort, encouragement, security. Give it to me. And if you don't get it, if you don't feel it, and here's what happens. You can make a note in your margin. Here's what's happening. Here's what goes on. If I don't get it, I get hurt and angry. And it's very difficult to love someone when you're mad at them. So you even have a relationship with someone, and you start to figure out, hey, I don't think I'm getting some of the things I need. And you get hurt, and you get angry about it. So it's hard, it's difficult because you know, you don't see the things that you need to see when you're growing up, it doesn't prepare you. You don't feel the things when you're growing up, and so it doesn't prepare you. And so you get into marriage, and like all these different things are supposed to occur, and none of it is occurring at all. And there's a deficit, and how do you make up the deficit? And then you get hurt, and you get angry. And here's the thing, when I get hurt and I get angry, here's what happens. It doesn't take much pain for me to stop loving you. And so that's when the loving stops. And it's not like it's easy, by the way. I don't want to paint a picture that's like really, really super easy to love someone. I mean, there are so many differences. I mean, you get into it and you find out you're really, really super different. I've been married 29 years. So 29 years. And in our culture, really the answer to the whole thing is just find the right person. So we look. The age to get married is creeping up, because people are taking longer and longer and longer. We have our list, oh, he's going to have to look like this and be this type of person, all these things. We look up, it's like a fish, and you throw him out, that guy's not good. And so you just keep looking. Then you finally think, I found the right one. I found the right, this time I've got the right, this, he's going to be the one. So you pick the right one, and so you're like, now you're in love, and you get married, and I've got the right one now. And just a short time after you get married, you start to question, did I pick the right one? Let me give you an example. Clarissa and I, you know, I'm like, this is the right girl for me. And so I see her coming to church, I'm like, this is the right, God, please, if I could just have her, beg, please, she's the right one for me. So we fall in love, and we get married. We go on our honeymoon, it's great, you know, because you like everything, you're eating everything you want. There's just like, it's the honeymoon time. Guys are all into that. Girls love the wedding. The boys like the wedding night. And so anyway, so you know, you had the honeymoon and you come back and now you have to be married. And so, yeah, now listen, it was only like a week or two after I got married that I started to ask myself the question, I don't know for sure, have I married the right person? Because let me tell you what happened. There were so many differences between us. I started noticing, it's like, wow, I've got so many things I have to change in her. This is going to take some time. Here's the first one right here, and this is when I knew I was in trouble. Okay, let me tell you where I'm coming from. For me, the bathroom is a sacred place. When you go into the bathroom in your own house, that's a very private area. And I'd only lived with dudes before, and all men know that. You don't even knock on a bathroom door. If it's shut, you just assume somebody's in there, man. You don't even knock. I don't like people to even knock on the door when I'm in the bathroom. Sacred, private, this is my area. So like, we've been married for like 7-10 days, and I'm in the bathroom, and Clarice just opens the door, walks in, and starts brushing her teeth. And I'm like, my mom's like, this is a sacred place. What are you doing? And so I said, what are you doing? She goes, I'm brushing my teeth. I could see that. But like, I'm in here now. And I was like, you don't come into the bathroom when a person's in the bathroom. What are you thinking? Like, what? You know, I'm thinking, who did I marry? Who does this type of thing? And she's like, what's the big deal? This is just so stupid. I said, it's not stupid. This is a private area. You know, just walking. So then she goes, well, I don't care if you come into the bathroom when I'm never coming in the bathroom when you're in there. That's not a fair trade. And you know, and I'm like, who? Did I pick the right person? This, and she's like thinking this is so stupid. Now, I got to tell you something here. Okay, so, you get married. Now, here's where I'm at. This is something I think is stupid. My wife loves to decorate the house. So I like Christmas, and, you know, I didn't know that Macy's was going to roll in at Christmas time. I mean, it's trees, and we want 5 trees, and all this stuff, and stockings. Like, okay, you know, we're having Christmas stuff. You know, we're spending more on the house and presents, but that's okay, you know. So decorate. And then, I had no idea this was going to happen. It starts creeping to other holidays. She doesn't want to just, like, decorate at Christmas time a lot. It's other holidays. I got to show you something. My house right now, on the inside is decorated for Halloween. Who does that? Well, Halloween, is that even a holiday? I mean, come on, I gotta show you this. I mean, in my house, there's jack-o'-lanterns, there's fake spider webs, things you pay people to clean, we're buying, and it's like, what? And there's like a witch with no head and all these different things. And look at this thing here. I brought this, and I didn't even tell Clarice, I took it, I gotta show you this. This, we bought this. Look at this right here. We bought this. We paid money for this in my house. These are around. These are like from Rocky Horror Show. Who does this? And these are around. It's like, I paid money for this. I mean, this thing, they look down in my house. They're all around. We decorated with a raven. And I was like, that's stupid. This is like 4 cheeseburgers I could buy somewhere. This isn't right, you know? It's like, shut up. You know, it's like, but so here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. You find out that, I don't know if I picked the right person. You know what this series is about? It's not about picking the right person. It's about letting God help you become the right person. That's how you stay in love forever. Is God helps you become the right person. Because I don't care who you pick. You're going to find out, man. They're going to push your buttons. And you're going to ask yourself the question, is this even the right person? How could this be the right person? I mean, they were so cute before. All I could just, and then you find out, no. But there's a whole different way, and that's what we're going to talk about during this series. It's one of the things that Jesus talked about. Look in your notes. There's a little part to read there. This is Jesus talking, because he comes into this whole culture, and he speaks into it, and he gives us hope. He's alive. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And it's interesting, circle a new command, because you're probably thinking like I am, Jesus, that's not new. I mean, that's not like something new to love the person you're with. And unless, you know when something seems new and it's not because it's been gone so long? Have you ever had something in your life and it's been gone so long, you haven't experienced it in so long, that when it finally comes through, it's like it almost seems brand new. Jesus lived in a culture where everybody was very similar in the Jewish culture. And so they had the temple and big, huge church everybody went to. And in that church that they all went to, big church, everybody went to the Jewish church. And in that church, marriage was extremely important. It wasn't like non-negotiable. Everybody got, if you're Jewish, you're in the church, everybody got married, right? So marriage is very important. And staying married, very, very, very important. So very important in the church, get married, stay married. But listen now, staying in love was not important. In the Jewish church, as long as you got married, and as long as you stay married, you're okay. And so Jesus comes into this culture and he gets to know all these people. He's like, wow, you know, they're all married and they're all staying married, but they're not in love. So when he said new to them, even though love isn't new, they were probably thinking, man, it's been a long, long time since I remember what it was like to feel like I loved them or they loved me. I don't know how you're doing in your relationships and you're preparing for marriage and you think to yourself, well, I've just got to find the right person and this series is for you so you can start to become the right person because someone's going to pick you someday and you're going to pick someone. And if you're the right person, and don't buy into marriage and think, okay, well, at some point if I just get married and I stay married because of the kids and after the kids, maybe we'll just go and go and go and we'll see, you know, maybe we'll get separate rooms. And marriage is to be in love. And Jesus sees all of it and he says, I want to tell you something. It's been so long since you felt like you love each other. It's almost going to seem like it's brand new. And you know, I'm not trying to say today that it's easy. So invite people, tell them to come to church, and we'll tell them really practical things, and that all works out. But I do want you to know something. You can't do the things that Jesus said without Jesus. So if you're a Jesus follower or a Christian, or whatever you call yourself, you know, Christianity should come with a little tag that says, don't try this without Christ. Because you can't do the things that Jesus said without Jesus. He's not Martin Luther King. He's not George Washington. He's not Abraham Lincoln. He's not Gandhi. He's none of those people that wrote some really smart things and then died. And we have their books now, and we have to try really, really super, super hard to do what they said. That's not Jesus. He's resurrected. He's alive. He's with us as we do the things that he says, and he's still speaking. So when he says here to them, he says, listen, you feel brand new. Your marriage is going to feel brand new. Your relationship, brand new. If you change the way you look at this whole thing, you'll feel brand new if you love them. And then he says something interesting. Look at the last part of the statement. He says, as I have loved you. That's his way of saying, you can't love them unless you let me love you. And it's not natural, by the way. Do you know what comes really natural between men and women? Conflict. Let me read you something. So I'm going to read you a list. And this list is a list of how men and women, what makes a man feel loved and what makes a woman feel loved. Now listen to this list right here. And you tell me if you see any potential for conflict. Here's the men right here. This is what makes a man feel loved. Number one, sexual fulfillment. Big mystery there. Sexual fulfillment. Recreation companion, which is a lot like sexual fulfillment. Attractive spouse, a clean house, and admiration. So those are the things that makes a man feel loved. Okay, so girls, you're out there a little ways, you know what's coming. That's why, and honestly now, if you're going to be in a relationship with a guy, I don't care if he's the Pope's son, well, the Pope doesn't have a son. some really good guy has a son, that guy's probably going to pressure you for sex, even if he doesn't want to. Because the way he feels loved is to get to have sex. And he knows that the way it's saved that for marriage, he's going to try really super, super hard, and he might do pretty well, but you're going to have to be the gatekeeper and go, not this fine thing. Put a ring here. And after I say, I do, that's not bad for a dude saying that, huh? That's pretty good. Because listen, it's not that they're perverts. And next week, I'm going to do the whole talk on what men wish women knew. So invite your friends, get your family. It's going to be very interesting because I know a little something about this. Men wish women knew this. And what you have to know is we're not perverts. We're just designed in a way that sex makes us feel like someone loves us. But when you're just dating and hanging out, they're coming at you. You say, whoa, that's part of love that you're going to have to wait on because I can't make you feel loved like that right now. And sometimes you know what works best? little pop on the nose would back the boy right off. And then he's like, see, did you get that? That's the physical touch you're going to get if you come any closer. Okay, now, so men, sexual fulfillment, recreation, companion, attractive spouse, clean house, and admiration. Now, here's why women give in sometimes, because they're afraid. They're afraid. He's just going to dump me. He's going to leave me. He's going to go find somebody that he can have sex with. And so if you're following Jesus and you're a girl, then you'll have to trust him for your husband. Because if you trust yourself, you'll probably give it up. But if you trust Jesus, if you say, I know the Lord will bring the guy for me, and he'll respect me enough. It's going to be hard. He may have to, like work hard. But he respects me, and he'll wait. And then when the time comes, I'll be able to love him with everything. Because that's all men are. Now listen to women. This is great. So guys, check this out. You got to hear this. This is women right here. This is what makes a woman feel loved. Affection, non-sexual. Huh? Conversation. Oh, man. My skin's crawling. Openness. Financial support and family. So here's men and here's women. Now, you heard those lists. Here's women. Affection, non-sexual, conversation, openness, financial support, family. You know, mix that with sexual fulfillment, recreation, companion, attractive spouse. Do you see any possibility of conflict between men and women? Just happening naturally? And yet Jesus speaks into it, and here's what he says. He said, love them like I love you. You'll never be able to love them unless you let me love you. The whole point of it is, here's the point. If you want to be the right person, you're going to have to have Jesus be your right person. Because you know what? No matter what you've ever done, no whatever happens in your life, no matter what has ever happened to your life, Jesus has stayed in love with you. And he'll give you the power to stay in love with them. When you try to do it on your own steam or motivated because of who they are, at some point, it's not going to be enough. And I know our culture says it's okay to change out. Just find another person, find a right person. Do you know there's over 1,500 organizations right now that'll help you fall in love? You can give them your money, and you can give them a profile, and they'll send you some people, and you can go see them, and you can fall in love with one of them. It's easy to fall in love. Maybe never easier to fall in love. Not so easy to stay in love. Listen to this guy. This happens to this guy right here. So here's a guy. Some people have turned to computer dating services in an attempt to find the compatible mate. One recently divorced 35-year-old man decided to use a dating service in search of a new mate. After completing a detailed questionnaire and a one-hour personal interview, the computer presented him with 5 names selected from the database of tens of thousands of potential candidates. Much to his surprise, the first name on the list belonged to his former wife. You know why? Because I can become the right person, I never find the right person. I was listening to an interview a ways back, and it was with Brad Pitt, who I like just fine, and he recently left his wife for another woman, so he's on to another relationship. They're asking him some difficult questions, and finally Brad Pitt said, I don't know why everybody's acting like this is such a big deal. I don't know why everybody sees this as such a negative thing, he said. Why does it have to be seen as negative? And as I listened to him, I thought, you know, it's almost like what he's saying is it's just normal. Like, there's no way you could love one person for the rest of your life. Nobody does that. At some point that you just move on to another person, and then you love them for a long, long time, and then you don't want them anymore, and you move on to another person. And here's what happens in our culture. You don't move on to another person. You just stay in the relationship, and you feel trapped because you don't know how to get the love back. Now look, the bottom line in your notes, right in at the very bottom. Jesus helps us give what we desire. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And circle the word whoever. I told you it's a series for everyone. And that means if you're here today and you don't have a relationship going at all, and you might be glad that you don't, but someday, you know, you're sort of like, I'm going to be in a relationship and I wonder who I'm going to get married. Or you're in a relationship and maybe, no, you even shouldn't be in that relationship. And you're going to have to decide, or you're married or whatever it is. Whoever. Maybe you came through a divorce. Maybe you look back over your shoulder and you go, man, I have not been the person I want to be in relationships. Maybe you've been through lots of them and you're disappointed and ashamed of things that you've done. Maybe you haven't been through many at all. That was more me. I was really super timid. I mean, Clarice was basically pretty much like almost my very first girlfriend because I was just really timid and I didn't know how to get girlfriends. And every time I would try, I'd get it completely back-assward and they wouldn't like me. So I didn't have a lot of girlfriends, and you could have been like that. Or maybe you're like Mr. Casanova, all kinds of shirt unbuttoned to here, and you're just like Mr. Get Girls, I don't know, whoever. That's what Jesus was saying. He was saying this. He was saying, listen, I'll stay in love with you forever, whoever you've been. And if you let me love you, when you don't want to love the one you're with anymore, you have zero desire to love them, you get the power from Jesus. Sometimes Clarice will do something, and it's real for me. I'm just like, I can't even believe this, man. It's like, how long until one of us dies? I mean, gosh, you know, I'm stuck in this thing. And then I think to my, I'll think about what she did, and then I'll think about who I am and that Jesus keeps loving me. And sometimes that's all it takes. Because it's not about finding the right person. It's about being the right person.